pick a boy born and raised in New Jersey on Springsteen, and a Southern California beach bum raised in the 60s, and what do you get? Do What You Like with Tom Cavanaugh and Bob Telford. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Do What You Like. Hi, I'm Bobby T. I'm here in Ventura, California. And as always, I am joined by my co-host and partner in crime, as I like to say. And he's coming to us from Edison, New Jersey. Please welcome Tom Cavanaugh. Hey, Tommy.
Good morning, everybody. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's a little foggy today, but it's starting to burn off. So, you know, if that's all that
we get. It's still California. You can't get bad weather.
Exactly. And before we jump into this thing, I want to remind all our viewers that to follow us on dowhatyoulike.biz, which is our website. And if you haven't listened to all of our episodes, they're up on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, iHeart, FM Player. Did I miss any, Tom?
Oh, no, we just loaded. But let me say, in the first week, thank you to the listeners. We are over 250 listeners in the first 7 days, including 9 countries. And we just last night got somebody in Tel Aviv that kicked in. So hello to Israel, and thank you for joining us. And I'm really excited about today's show.
Yeah, me too. As always, you know, we are so fortunate to get wonderful guests, and today is no exception. In fact, there is a slight exception. Our guests today are the first husband and wife team that we've had on the show. Am I right, Tom?
Yes, sir. That's
it. All righty. Anyway, Kelly Dilling was born and raised in North Charleston, South Carolina. She developed an interest in baking as a young girl, watching both of her grandmothers in the kitchen baking with love, which is, by the way, the only way you should bake. She's a self-taught cake decorator with a passion to create customized cakes and desserts, a baker for over 20 years, professionally since 2009. After working in the medical field for over 20 years and baking part-time, she left her job to pursue her passion of baking full-time. She was joined by her husband, LaVon Dillings, who she refers to as her number one supporter, and he became the marketing person, advertiser, and delivery driver. Their bakery gained notoriety with a few local businesses, and new clientele came on daily. They're now shipping worldwide, providing specialty cookies, breads, pecan chewies, brownies, and pound cakes. Please welcome to Do What You Like, Kelly and LaVon Dillings. Welcome, guys.
Welcome, guys. Welcome.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah, you guys are pretty impressive there. By the way, before we get started, do you do pecan pies or sweet potato pies?
Yes, I can do both.
Oh, boy. You got my heart pounding. So, Tommy, do you want to kick it off?
Well, you know, Kelly, your story is the antithesis. This is what this show is about. We recognize what they call the Great Resignation, and it's due to COVID. I think the last couple of years, 48 million people have quit their jobs that they haven't just did a year or two. They've been doing careers to pursue dream careers because I guess maybe they recognize life's too short. Well, describe what your life was in the medical field and when the light bulb went on, because it's so inspirational and so good to hear.
You know, I enjoyed the medical field. It was something I really loved doing. I loved people, loved being around people and talking to people. That was a passion I had. But I also loved to bake. And I knew just in the back of my mind, that was what I desired most out of working in the medical field and baking. Definitely baking took precedence. I worked full time, and I would come home after work and throw a few cakes in the oven. I was limited as far as what I could accept as far as cake orders because I worked full time. After meeting this wonderful man, he said, you know what? Baking is your passion and it is what you absolutely love to do. So why are you still working a 9-to-5? And so, you know, it took a little convincing, but I decided it was really something that I wanted to pursue and I could do so much better doing that full time. And so I gave it probably another year, and I told them it was time for me to leave. And I haven't looked back since. I have been busy. I mean, before I left my job, I was only baking on the weekends. But since I've left my job, I bake 5-7 days a week. I can actually...
I also want to note out in that story, you just threw it away like it was nothing. I would come home from work and put a few cakes in the oven. You said a few cakes. People lucky to get one cake on a Sunday. You did a few cakes. I love that.
Yes, a few.
Yeah, it's amazing.
But definitely something I'm so happy I did, and I haven't looked back since. It's taken off from there.
Excellent.
So did you went to school? Did you, how did you prepare yourself to go into this full time? I mean, obviously you learned a lot from your grandmothers, watching them in the kitchen, observing what they were, the joy and the pleasure they got from it. But did you, actually on top of the learning that you got at home, were you able to go to school and develop some additional skills?
I actually started school when my daughter was fairly small. And because I was a single parent, I wasn't able to go full time or complete my education in culinary. And so I gave it up and decided to work full time. And then once my daughter was out of the house, and I decided, I'm a self-taught baker. So a lot of what I do decorate, my decorations, is because I tried. I wouldn't give up. If it didn't work, I tried something else. And so I'm a self-taught baker, but I wanted the educational background as far as running a business and making professional wedding cakes. So that's where I went to the Culinary Institute of Charleston. And got that education there, and it was very helpful.
Yeah, so I'm not familiar with that school. Charleston's a new area in my life. I've only been here once or twice. Yeah. So can you describe the school and what that experience is like?
Yes, it's called the Trident Technical College, and mm-hmm. I went to the Culinary Institute, which is a part of Trident Technical College. And the program was, at first when I went, it was a 3-year program, but they changed the curriculum. So I was able to kind of speed through the classes and finished it in maybe a year and a half after I went back the second time.
Excellent.
Loved the program. Very informative. Met quite a few people that have helped me along the way. We kind of, get each other's ideas on certain things that are difficult or stumping us. So it was a really great education. Still in touch with some of the professors at that college.
So LaVon.
Yes.
I know you, I saw the laundry list of things that you actually, do for the business there, but are you also the chief taste tester?
I was initially, but I didn't like cakes growing up. I thought all of them taste the same.
Really?
So when we actually met, she told me she baked. I'm like, but she's like, her cakes are different. I'm like, that's what everybody says. Nobody's going to say they have a bad cake. She's like, well, you got to try my cake. So, and I'm telling her, like, cakes are dry. Even the decorated ones, they look nice. But once you cut them, they all look the same, taste the same.
Right.
Well, I tasted hers and hers did not taste the same.
Right. Changed the opinion on cake.
You gave her the LaVon's seal of approval.
Yes. Yes. And then she did this banana pudding cake, and that's
nice.
It's just like the banana pudding with vanilla wafers.
Right.
Well, then she made some cookies. She made some cookies that coconut cream cookies, and those things were awesome. Again, I still didn't want a cake because I just wasn't into them, even though hers tasted well. So she said, well, what about if I put the coconut cream cookies? I said, if you do that, I'll eat a cake.
They on top or in the cake itself?
Both.
You cut out.
Wow. Got to send you a picture of it. But that was my birthday cake for my 50th. And man, since then, I just fell in love with them. Still don't eat them much, just still not a cake person, but Yeah. I do try them, but we got new taste testers now. That's your question. I just can't.
You got new taste testers.
Yeah, we got to get them out the house when they're made.
So, Kelly, you picked up a lot from your grandmothers, and I know from the family bakers, my aunt and my grandmother, the recipes they use maybe once, and then after that, they don't use no recipes. They just don't use recipes. Did you have that experience with the grandmas, and how did you learn from that?
No, actually, my grandmothers, they baked sweet potato pies and pound cakes. And I learned from both of my grandparents, my mother and my father's mother, and they continued the same recipe. They even wrote it down.
Oh, they did.
So that they could, yeah, so they could pass it on. It was just that good.
That's unusual, yeah.
That is unusual.
Yeah, yeah. And so just in watching them, I learned, you know, of course, you write out a recipe, but you don't always follow it to a T.
Sure.
So I loved that I was able to watch them as they baked and learned how to do it exactly. Of course, it never tastes the way your grandparents.
Right. It's always better. They can be standing next to you, make the same recipe, and hers is always better. It doesn't matter.
Right? I think it's the pan. The pan is seasoned.
No, I think it's the hands. There's something that comes with it.
That's right. So you learned a lot from your grandmothers. I noticed there was something I saw, I think it was on the website, where you refer to having served the Low Country. And now, for those that don't know what the Low Country is, could you explain that? And is it a cultural thing, or is it just the region, you know, that has developed a certain taste? What can you tell us about that, guys?
Charleston, for people in South Carolina, is considered the Low Country. However, the Low Country actually goes into Georgia. I didn't know that for the longest period of time. But here in South Carolina, Charleston and the surrounding counties, mostly Berkeley County and Dorchester County, is considered the Low Country. Beaufort. If you saw on the website, if you looked at the products, there's a thing called the Chewies.
Yes.
So that's a Charleston thing. I'd never heard of it till a friend of mine asked me, can she bake it? And I'm like, I have no clue what you're talking about, but I'll ask her. And I still don't know what a Chewy is, but they're good.
They're good.
And the closest thing I can say to it is some type of brownie is what I call it. Right. But It's not the brownie that you use.
So is this a very local, like very regional, and does it come out of a cultural history?
I believe it does, but it is local. Everybody in this area we're in, like if you can't bake anything else, but you can bake a chewy,
you got to bake a chewy.
You have friends and customers for life.
Yeah,
no, that's but if you can't bake, if you bake and you can't bake a chewy, or if your chewy's not good, they will let you know.
So if you knew at it,
I wouldn't even attempt it.
Kelly, the first cake. Do you remember the first cake?
Oh yeah.
Yes,
What was the first cake?
The first cake I made, of course, was a pound cake. It was my my grandmother's recipe. But a funny story. So after baking these pound cakes and just giving them away, somebody said to me, why are you giving these cakes away? These cakes are absolutely delicious. You should be charging for it. And so that's kind of the beginning of when I started selling cakes. And so I had a friend of mine ask me to make a birthday cake for her daughter. And I said, okay, never done it before, but I'm going to do it for you. And so I made the cake and it was so wonky and so lopsided. I was like, what was I thinking? I thought I could do it. So and I hold on to that picture to this day.
Oh, that's great.
It reminds me of where I started from, because if you look at my cakes now, oh my gosh, you're creative. You do great work. But I hold on to that picture from where I started to remind me. It keeps me humble. It allows me to stay humble.
Well, I got to say, there's nothing wonky in the product pictures I've ever seen. And I've seen a lot. I've been following your product pictures since LeVon started posting it. But here's the thing I did notice, and I'm a fan of baking. I can't do it.
Right.
A lot of people call it a science. Other people, mm-hmm. No, you got to bake from the heart. I don't know which one I'm missing. But I do know your product, your cakes, they don't look comic booky. Mm-hmm. And I only have to say it is, you know, that Cake Boss guy, you know, respect him and all, but they look comic booky to me. And then it's the other end. You don't look like you got that fondant on it that cake's going to shatter if you hit it with a hammer. So what do you take on your design? Where does your design come from? Somebody says, I need a race car for my kid birthday. How's that start for you?
You know, I love to get ideas from customers because I want to create your vision, what you're thinking you want for your birthday party. So if somebody says, I want a race car, I usually send them pictures of a race car that is my vision, but I want to make sure that's something that you like also. And they'll say, oh, I don't like the color or the shape. And then that's where I use my creativity to kind of bring it to light for them. So
you draw it out first?
I can't draw if you
can't even
leave
me. I get it. Yeah.
No.
But you just throw ideas out. The audience can't see. He's just shaking his head no.
So if you can't draw it, then how do you present your ideas to your clients?
A picture.
Okay, so
if they find
a photograph of one that you've done before?
Right, one I've done before or one that they see online. And I always tell them, because I did not do that cake, it's not going to be that cake. But I can give you my idea or my version of that cake. And they are super impressed because I love to carve cakes. And so in carving it, of course, is not going to look like the one that they showed me, but it's definitely close to or even better. They've always been impressed with it.
Right. Now, we were talking about this. So people come to you to make cakes for special occasions.
Right.
Do you find that there's an additional pressure on, you know, achieving that goal or exceeding that goal that in the process, do you find yourself going, oh, I've got to get this right because this is a big event? Like, for example, if it's a wedding, you know, that's a day that not everybody has more than once of, but right. It is. It's a very special day. So do you find yourself going, oh, I got to get this right. I got to get this right. I got to get this right. Is there any anxiety that comes from that?
Oh my gosh, I get anxiety every time I bake. And I've been baking over 20 years now, but that anxiety is still there. But that anxiety helps me to stay humble and it helps me to do what I can do, which is the best that I can do. And I'm hard on myself. You know, every time I deliver a cake, I'm like, well, this is what, and they are super impressed, but I see the flaws and I see what I should have done differently. So over the 20 years, it's definitely gotten better because with each cake, I learned something different that I could do for the next time.
Any
so
happy
still that anxiety. Every time.
Had any happy accidents where you did something and it didn't come out right, but what it did turn into was even better than you had anticipated?
Yes, many times.
Any stories you'd like to share?
I can tell you a couple times I've had an accident with a cake. For instance, I baked a cake and had it ready, and I was on my way out the door with it and completely lost. I can't even tell you what happened to that cake, but it went everywhere.
Oh my God.
It was a huge disaster. And
so what do you do?
Yeah, what do you do?
What do you do?
Well, I called her, and luckily I was delivering to her for the next day.
Okay.
So I had to start all over again.
Yeah. Do you say to yourself, no matter what, I got to make sure that I complete this the day before? Just
exactly. And that I do.
All right. I got a question. I've always wanted to ask a baker because I've heard this from when I was a kid. Okay. Is it real? If I slam the door while you're baking a cake, is that cake going to fall? Because my mother said that to me my whole life.
That cake is not going to fall.
It's not going to fall.
It's a myth.
It's a myth. It's a myth.
It is absolutely a myth.
What would you say? Go ahead. Go ahead and finish your thought there.
I was just going to say, I'm usually mixing in the kitchen while the cake is in the oven and throwing things on the stove. So it's clearly not true.
It's not true.
So you went from doing this, you went from baking when you get home from work. You went to you decided that you wanted to leave the medical field. You go in. Did you immediately go to school, or did you try it on your own for a while and then realize you needed to go to school, or what was the process there?
Well, I'm because I'm self-taught, I did most of it on my own. And right. then when I decided to go to school, it was to learn the back part of baking, the science behind it, and open a bakery one day to know how, you know, because there's certain rules that have to be in place as far as DHEC is concerned when you're in a storefront. So I wanted to know all of the insides on that as well. You know, how to keep food safe, that sort of thing.
So when you go ahead, Tommy.
But when you first started to step out and you said that's it, as of tomorrow, I'm full time baking. How did you get it out to your customers? Was it all just word of mouth, or did you have a marketing plan? What was your first step in that area?
And then there came LaVon.
That's where my marketer came in. But yeah, I definitely word of mouth. I have a huge following, of course, over 20 years for my Facebook page. But of course, word of mouth. And then I also put it on the page. Hey, if you need anything tomorrow, I'm available. I'm no longer working full time, so I can have it ready for you tomorrow. And that was huge. Of course, quite a few people.
Do you get that often?
Anywhere.
You get a last minute cake often?
Often.
Really? Often. Like what? Yes. What was your like, oh man, I got to pull this off.
We've had birthday cakes, cocoa melon birthday cakes. I've had less than 2 days notice to do that.
And that's what's a cocoa melon for us civilians?
It's a cartoon character. And because we don't have children, I have to do research because I don't know who these cartoon characters are.
I don't know what it is.
I had no idea. I thought it was a flavor. I thought it was a color and everything.
I'm like, I want to Google it right now to find out what a cocoa melon is.
She asked me about cocoa melon, and I'm like, I hadn't watched a cartoon in 20-something years. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you won't get me up on a Saturday morning to watch cartoons.
The one funny story, I had a call recently, and it was from a lady. She was in Atlanta, and she said, I need you to do my daughter's birthday cake. She said, I've been following your page. I looked at your website. I need you to do this cake for me. And I said, ma'am, I'm so sorry. I have a wedding cake, and wedding cakes take a lot of time. Right. I focus just on my wedding cake. I can't accept any other orders to distract me. She said, if you can't do it, I'm going to have to change the date of the party because you have to do this cake.
Wow.
So she changed the date of her birthday party. So
that's being in demand.
That is in demand.
Excellent.
So, LaVon, you come in to start handling the marketing and advertise. What are the challenges there? How do you go about deciding how much I'm going to sell this cake for? I mean, what exactly for you has been the most fun and maybe even the most challenging aspect of your responsibilities, as it were?
Just for this region. So certain people do certain things. What she does, mostly everything. There's a thing called cake pop. I don't know if you know what that is. She does not do that, but there are people.
What is it? What is it called?
It's a cake pop. It's like a lollipop, but it's a cake. It's made out of cake.
Yeah, it's like one bite of cake on a stick.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's really good, but from what she tells me, it's real temperamental when you're baking it. So you have to be there watching the thing the whole time. You can't do something else.
Really?
Yeah, you have to sit there and watch it. So that's not. Like, she's decorating, so she can't be watching the oven and watching these things at the same time. So she doesn't do that. But there are people who do that, and somebody will want her to do their cake, but they want cake pops too. And letting them know that there's no way. She won't do them. She just won't do them.
She won't do it.
No, she won't do them. So, and then getting the pricing, because her customers tell her that her prices are too low.
Really?
But.
So what do you think of that when they say that the prices are too low? Do you say, well, maybe we should raise them? Or are you happy?
I always say that. But he's like, No. She has this tremendously big heart, and she's, to me, she's loyal to a fault. I'm like, I get it. These people have been following you for years, been customers, but the price of the product, you know, to bake them,
especially in this market,
it's going up. You're gonna have to go up on your prices at some point. You know, you don't go from something costing $2 to $202, but
right,
you got to go up. You know,
but if they love it as much as I think they love it, and you're gentle with them, so they'll understand, especially in this market.
And that's what I tell her, and she's like, "You got too much New Jersey in you." Very first time I delivered a cake for her, we were at her parents' house, and she had to go somewhere to meet a customer right around the corner, but I thought she was taking too long. I don't like being late, so she rides with me. I turn the corner.
Oh, no.
We were at a light, and the light turned green, and we're the first car, so I went. Otherwise, there's going to be a line of traffic. So I did a Jersey turn, and we got there.
A Jersey turn.
We got there, and the car was on two wheels, and I got fired that day. I didn't know what to hire.
You're not the delivery guy anymore.
But we got there, and the cake was in one piece, and that was my thing. Like, we deliver on time, and the cake arrives, you know, one piece. I had this nice 5-year streak going until 2 weeks ago. I never lost an order. And then last 2 weeks ago, I put some cupcakes on my back seat. I forgot that I put them there. Put my lunch in the back seat, which I never do. I went to get it, and then I realized the box was turned upside down. So I said, I never heard the box fall. So I'm like, maybe it just slid. So I'll be able to pull it up and put them back in place. Didn't work. They were done. But luckily, she did a double order.
So you covered it.
Yeah.
Accidentally. That's meant to be. See, you know.
Yes, yes, definitely.
So you brought up something, cupcakes. Cupcakes is a market in itself, just like a cake pop. But you do the cupcake.
Yeah, I do cupcakes. Cupcakes are quick and easy. I think the reason I don't like the cake pops is because dipping them, you dip them in chocolate. And it's so temperamental, so I just rather not do it.
But cupcake, even though it may be quick and easy, you still got to be on point because people are connoisseurs about cupcakes now. So do you have your signature cupcake?
Yes, we have quite a few signature cupcake, and I don't know if it's a Low Country thing as well, but it's called a strawberry crunch. Cupcake, and it's a strawberry cupcake with strawberry icing, and the icing is dipped in, it's a strawberry concoction, so it's crushed Oreos mixed with butter and jello, strawberry jello gelatin, and it looks like broken up pieces of cookies. Yeah. But it's a strawberry, it's the best. It is.
It sounds like the three things I like. I never thought of smashing them together, though, so this is interesting to me.
All I know is as you were describing it, I could feel my cholesterol going through the roof.
I'm ready, though. Bring it. It's worth it. Yes. Listeners, I guess you could say, and some of the guests even, when they first heard about this type of podcast, they wanted to know what the hard part was. What's the hard part of doing this? And because people love what they do so much, they never talk about it. So we always have to ask, what was, especially in the beginning, what was the hard things to get over and the hard things to master?
The hard things would be, as he said, pricing for me.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like I know what I'm capable of doing, but once I see the finished results, I'm like, gosh, that was worth more. You know, I put my all into it. And then I realized, maybe I should have charged a little more. So pricing for me, and I do use through the Culinary Institute, there's a costing formula that we use. And then you have to add on what you're worth. So what it costs you to your time, you know, that sort of thing. So I still do fall a little short. So that would have to be the toughest thing for me.
What were the milestones? What were the milestones for you? I mean, obviously, you were getting a tremendous amount of joy from doing it. You know, you come home from work and you'd cook in your own kitchen, but along the way, you've gone from that doing it in your kitchen after work to now making this your life. So, did you find because you are so passionate? Did you find yourself at moments going, I can't believe I've done this. I can't believe how much I've achieved. Are you overwhelmed by it sometimes?
Sometimes it is overwhelming. I think some of my milestones is, you know, when I was working full time and only able to bake part time, I was only able to do maybe 4 to 5 cakes a week, which wasn't a lot to me. But, you know, when you're working full time, it is a lot. Sure. Now I can do, you know, 15, 20 cakes a week. And, you know, I do look back and I'm like, wow, I did that many cakes in a week. So never thought I could get to that point. So that's definitely a milestone for me.
And you've got a brick and mortar operation now where you operate out of, or how you what's the setup for you guys?
It's at home now. We've been looking for about 2 years now for a brick and mortar. But these people down here who have the brick and mortars, they think we're in New Jersey or New York or California with the pricing that they want.
Right, yeah, that's everywhere now.
Lease it or even to buy it, it's just ridiculous now. Charleston, they say, is from year to year is either the number one or between number one and number three best tourist attractions.
Right.
So because of that moniker, everything is sky high.
Everybody wants to be there.
You're on the hunt, though. You're still on the hunt if you find the right.
Oh, yeah, we're still looking. We could rearrange the house, but don't want to do that.
What's amazing about that is you actually might be better off as a result of not having gone that direction, especially in light of what we've experienced these last couple of years, where people went from, you know, they would go to the office every day or they would go to suddenly now they're working near the telecommuting, they're working from home. And then you've got the rent on your facility that you're not able to use still coming every month and still, you know, maybe you get a reprieve from it or whatever, but working out of a leaner operation somehow, you know, might be an advantage. Do you ever find yourself saying, gosh, I'm sure glad we didn't go out and find a brick and mortar? Because
we do say that. it's crazy because we're looking for, you know, to get into the building, looked at quite a few of them, but like, know what? Like you just said, that bill would still be coming every month.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and even though we're making that money now, like, it would just be paying the rent.
Right.
So what's the next step for you guys in terms of, because, you know, I went to the website, and first of all, there's a lot of options. And it's almost, to me, it's like when I go to a restaurant that has 5 pages on their menu, I think, how the heck does the guy in the back that's got to fix it know each one of these items in the process? Right. How do you keep it all straight?
Believe it or not, the old-fashioned way, I have a drawer full of recipes. Drawer full. And I remember a lot of the recipes, you know, what goes in each one of them. But I still pull that recipe out every time just to make sure I don't forget anything, because I want consistency when I do my cakes. If you order a carrot cake today and you order one a year from today, I want to make sure it tastes the same. You know, there's the same amount of nuts in it for that consistency so that you'll come back again. So I use that recipe every time.
Speaking of the website, I don't see this on many new baker, home bakers' websites, but you do cheesecakes. You do custom cheesecake.
I saw that.
For people that don't know, do you do like you got to do something with a water bath? I hear people talk about this.
Yeah.
This is even bigger than making a wedding cake at times. What do you do with your cheesecakes and how long does it take to get one out?
Yeah, cheesecake. I still use the Bain Marie, the water bath method, and it bakes for an hour. And then I turn the oven off and crack the oven door, and it sits for an hour so that it comes to room temperature so it doesn't crack on the top. And then it goes into the refrigerator you know, overnight or up to 8 hours until it sets.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So that's awesome.
So you had mentioned earlier that you're very particular about the consistency. And moving forward, do you ever envision a time when you would have a staff that you would oversee and that you grow to a point where you can no longer handle this on your own? Or is it in your, have you guys decided, look, we like it the way it is. We like having complete control because we know that what we're doing is what we want to be done. I mean, do you ever see the growth happening or are you saying, nope, this is where it's going to stay because this is the way we like it?
We just had that conversation maybe a day or so ago. And we have decided, because I am so particular about how my product, because it has my name on it, I am particular, very particular about the end result. So I will continue to do the baking and I'll have help, of course, to work in the front of the house to do the sales and, you know, the upkeep. But I want to make sure that I'm still a part of the process as far as the baking is concerned. I don't mind having help in that area, but I still want to oversee that part.
I don't know. I'm seeing some openings there for you, Levon.
So if you could advise somebody, you see somebody who's sitting on the fence, because look, TV makes it look easy. Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks they can cook. Everybody thinks they can bake.
Yeah.
But not everybody can do it. If somebody's sitting on a fence and they're sitting in their job in an insurance agency and they're like, well, you know, I can't make chewies, but I make some really good brownies. How can I get on this? What do you advise somebody who's thinking about it?
When it's a passion, when it's in you, something you absolutely love to do, you put a lot more effort into it than just to do it, just to say you did it. So make sure it's something you absolutely love to do. And there, that's where baking with love comes in. That's where, and that makes the difference to me. Every cake that I make, you know, is made with love. I put a lot of time and attention into it. So I think that makes a difference. And
So I saw something on the website that you attribute the longevity of your business to the unwavering passion for people. Explain that. What passion for people? That's a fascinating, you know, when I saw it, I go, you know, because I have a passion for my job. I have a passion, you know, I have passions for, you know, things like that. But passion for people, what, where does that come from? And how do you describe it?
A passion for people means to me, and if I can go back a little bit, I have a daughter and I was a single parent. So when she was growing up, she wanted cakes for her birthday, and I couldn't always afford the cake that she wanted. And so, you know, I would try to do my best and either order it if I could afford it, or I would try to make it for her myself. Of course, it didn't always, it was for her. So it wasn't as pretty. And I didn't have that background then. So over time, I realized, you know, this is something that I want to do to help other people that maybe can't afford the hugely decorated cakes. And that's another reason why my prices are the way they are, because I want to make sure everybody can afford something that I can make. So I may not be able to do an extravagant wedding cake for you because it does cost a lot of money, but I might be able to do a smaller version of a cake. So that's my passion for people. I love to help people in any way that I can. Of course, I can't give it away for free, but to be able to have something that everybody can take a part of, that everybody can have some of.
Well,
and that's where my passion comes in. I love people.
Yeah, it really does demonstrate your love. You know, I mean, so many people think about getting into a certain line of work for the money. They think about the money, or in some cases, it's the fame and, you know, all that. But I love it when we have guests on that say, I do it because I love it. I do it because I like what I'm doing. And in fact, one of the questions that I love asking of our guests is if it didn't pay anything, would you still do it?
Absolutely.
And that is always when, and that's the answer that we get. That's the consistent answer from all of our guests. Absolutely. Which without in my mind says they're doing what they like. It's amazing, isn't it?
They like it. And she's like, "You're a typical man." Like, she wants to know.
What a guy answer. But,
and they really did like it, but they didn't do cartwheels. But some reason when she delivers them, they do cartwheels or whatever, because she's like, they didn't say anything. I'm like, they said thank you and whatever. But
So Levon, a little suggestion.
Please.
From now on, when she asks you how they like it, just say, they did cartwheels. You know, exactly. And see, that's what's fascinating to me is that Kelly's looking for, I want cartwheels from everybody, every customer. And that says you really are truly passionate about people.
You know, there's one thing that I do for every cake that I decorate for someone for a birthday party. I post everything to my social media, but I don't post it until they see it first, because I want that genuine reaction. Yeah. I want to know how you feel about what I did, you know, and some, I haven't had very many, but some are like, oh, it's good. Okay. You know, but most of them are, I've had people cry because the cakes were so pretty. And I met someone today. I had an appointment earlier today. I gave her a card and told her what I did. She said, I know this name. She said, you made a cake for my husband. She said, and he wouldn't even cut it. And she said, it was so pretty. He wouldn't even cut it. And it had an alcohol bottle. I don't even remember what it was, but it was an alcoholic cake. So the bottle was on top of the cake. And she said, he wanted the alcohol, but he still wouldn't cut the cake. And she said, eventually we're going to have to cut it because it will spoil.
So
Kelly, I love that reaction.
If you bring something to the church bake sale, do the other ladies move to the other table? Is that the next to your product?
Here comes Kelly. Oh, geez.
That's the reaction.
She is the bake sale now.
Oh, really?
They all gave up. They won't even compete with me.
What's your signature? What's your signature, baked item, baked good?
Pound cakes are huge. Pecan chewies are now probably one of the top. Yeah. I do lots of vanilla and chocolate cakes too.
You know, I don't make the cakes. I'm like, they don't have any imagination. You see these beautiful cakes and they're all vanilla. I'm like, why don't they try another flavor?
But
I noticed too with the customers, they'll see something that somebody else got and then that becomes the hot seller.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah.
That's how great. Cocoa Melon is
a great word of mouth.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely.
Do you, when you get your supplies, your product, do you deal with local merchants or do you do a farm to table kind of thing? Do you have that connection out there or?
No, I usually order. I have a few suppliers that I use as far as ordering online. And what I can't find there, there is one local store that sells everything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're working out of your house, you're like, do you ever find yourself not leaving the kitchen ever, that you're always in there? And how do you cope with that? You know, I mean, because I remember when I used to work out of the house, it's like, all right, day's done, time to go home now. And you walk into the next room. So you really don't leave it behind because you can always go back. In your case, you're working out of your kitchen, right?
Yes.
So you're constantly reminded. Every time you walk in to go to the refrigerator to get something, it's like, oh, here's where I work.
Yes. So, and that's every day, all day. So what I do is take little short breaks. You know, once I finish the cake, I'll go, you know, fidget around on the computer for a little while or, just to get out of that kitchen and do something different for a short period of time. But yes, it does become hard sometimes just baking, you know, from home.
Sure. Yeah.
So we're coming to the near the end here. What would you like to, what morsel of inspiration would you like to share with, I'm trying to use baking terms here. what would you like to share with our audience in terms of what it is to be passionate about people and how they can utilize that in their lives.
Being passionate about people means that you can make a difference in somebody's life. You never know what just a kind word to someone, sometimes just a hello, what difference that makes in somebody's life. And if I could say something secondly, do what you love to do. I've heard it over and over again. When you do what you're passionate about, what you love to do, you don't work a day in your life, and it is the most rewarding. My only problem is I wish I'd done it sooner. You know, I spent 20 years in the medical field, and it was very rewarding. But this chapter of my life, I'm excited about. I'm ecstatic because I get to do what I love to do. Well, and with my best friend.
Well, what's fascinating about it is that the medical profession, you're helping people. You found a way to help people, but in an environment that you're much more suited to.
And
it's one thing to help somebody when they're sick. It's another thing to help them when they're celebrating a special event or whatever, to be able to say, I did this.
Did
you ever get invited to the events where you were responsible for creating the baked goods and say to yourself, geez, I hope everybody likes it, and you're looking around for reactions?
Quite a few times we've been invited to quite a few weddings. The only downside to that is they want you to cut the cake because you baked it.
Oh, really?
Wow. So
I've never heard that before.
The bride and groom out of it and let the person that made the cake.
Right.
That's impressive. That's impressive. So as we wind down here, is there anything that we, Tom and I, have failed to ask you that you want to share with our audience?
No, I think.
LaVon's got an idea.
She also teaches. I haven't been able to do it with the pandemic, but she teaches.
So you teach baking also out of the kitchen?
Decorating.
Decorating.
Yes.
That's good to know. Let them know. Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of people during the pandemic took up, you know, things like, you know, baking and, you know, you name it. They were all going out and trying something new and different. So,
but if they want to learn how to decorate a cake, they can contact you.
Yeah.
What website?
Yeah. How do they get a hold of you?
Yes. So my webpage is kellycakes.com, and that's Kelly with an I, KellyCakes.com. I'm on Facebook and Instagram. It's the letter O, Taste and C Cakes, LLC. And please reach out to me. I am happy to. I've been contacted numerous times just for how I should do this or how I should handle that, and I'm always, you know, willing to help a fellow baker in that aspect. And we are working on how to do maybe online classes. I have a passion for youth. So helping a youth pursue their goals as far as the baking world. I love to see, you know, small children pursuing that passion. And that's something we're working towards. That's one of our future projects.
Yeah.
No, that's wonderful.
That's awesome.
Any advice for the husbands out there? With the spouse?
Just do what they say. You know, it's a competitive world, but as I said earlier, there are plenty of bakers and bakeries here in Charleston area. Support them anyway. We support other bakers. Like I said, she doesn't do cake pops, but every once in a while we want to taste the cake pop. So we'll go support somebody who does cake pops.
Right.
We even go to a place that does cakes that she does.
Right.
But she just, that weekend or whatever, she doesn't want to do a cake because she's tired or whatever, doesn't have the orders. We'll just go to one of the other bakers.
Right, and try it out. Right.
From them. But a lot of people don't do that. Like, I'm not eating from them. That's the competition.
Right.
To me, there is no competition.
That's right.
So there's only one thing that I think you guys need to add to your website.
Okay.
And that is that all our products are delivered with tender, loving care by LaVon.
Scary but true.
Scary but true.
That I will not drop your cupcakes in the back of my car or leave them sitting there when I go off to work.
But you will package them for mail, right? You, if somebody in California wants to try your baked goods, this is the time. Get on that website and order up.
So yeah, a person could order a cake from you. Let's say if I ordered a cake from you, you would make it, and then, you know, you got to ship it and make sure that it gets there without any damage. I mean, that's a big responsibility.
So with our cakes, we do not ship decorated cakes. So the cocoa melon cake that we spoke about, we do not ship those because he worked at the post office for one time. And when the package is fragile, they throw it because it's fragile. So for that reason, we only ship specialty cookies, pecan chewies, brownies, breads, anything like that that can't be destroyed. Yeah,
make easy to ship. Right.
Okay, right.
Good to know.
Well, that makes sense. Well, I got to tell you, this has been awesome. This is just
this is great. What a delightful
conversation with you guys. And we truly do appreciate your coming on and sharing your experiences
Thank you so much on
Do What You Like. So many thanks. Now, before we go, are there any other links or places where you can be found, or if people want to know more about you guys and what you're doing, or any other little social media connections that you want to share, please let's get it out there so that everybody in our listening audience can say we want to reach out to these guys and order some cookies or some chewies or whatever. Any other links that you want to share with the audience?
No, just the webpage, kellycakes.com, Facebook or Instagram, or any of those ways you can reach me.
And that's Kelly with an I.
Kelly with an I, K-E-L-I-C-A-K-E-S.
Well, thank you, Kelly with an I, and LaVon Dillings for joining us here today.
Thanks, guys.
On Do What You Like. I think, Tommy, what should we go out and, maybe we should go out and have a cake or a cupcake or something?
I'm driving to, how'd you say it? Down low country?
The low country. Well, I'm fascinated by, I'm just always fascinated by these things. But no, thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, this is great.
And
the best of luck to you. And I can't wait to see how this grows because it's going to grow.
And as always, thanks to our audience out there, you want to find out more. If there's an episode that you want to find out about, please go to dowhatyoulike.biz. Or if you want to listen to any of the episodes, you can go to the platforms out there. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeart, FM Radio, Buzzsprout, you name it, go there. You'll find it. So thank you guys so much for being
thank
on
you guys.
What You Like. Tommy, as always,
thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Day.
And we will talk to you again soon.
And do all what right. you
thank
like.
Thank you all.
And thank do you. What you like. Right.
Have a good one.
You guys do the same.